Lecture topic. Lessons from the Hijra.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. إلا تنصروه فقد نصره الله إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا فأنزل الله سكينته عليه وأيده بجنود لم تروها وجعل كلمة الذين كفروا السفلى وكلمة الله هي العليا والله عزيز حكيم صدق الله العظيم.
Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, this ayat of the Quran Sharif refers to a particular time during a particular incident. The incident was the incident of Hijra, of the migration of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. We have entered the month of Muharram, the new Islamic year has come in, and this calendar of ours is based on or is referred to as the Hijra calendar. So the Hijra calendar reminds us of the Hijrat. In the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, when this Mashura took place, that there's a need to have a calendar for the Muslims, a starting point. So there are many aspects that were raised and suggested that should become the starting point of the Islamic calendar. But then the decision was made that Hijra, the year that the Hijra took place, that would be the starting point. So that became the first year after Hijra. So there's a lot of significance in this Hijra, and hence this was made the starting point of the Islamic calendar. We are seated here in the house of Allah Ta'ala. We are blessed with this wealth of Iman, blessed with this tawfiq of taking Allah Ta'ala's name. We are blessed with the tawfiq of having performed our salah. In this great favor of Allah Ta'ala upon us, in the background of this, is the sacrifices that were made at the time of Hijra. Many other aspects as well, right from the very beginning obviously. But this migration and this Hijra became the turning point. Before that it was a different situation. After Hijra this became a turning point. And then that then became the basis on which then Deen spread throughout the world eventually. So while from the very first day when Nubuwwat, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam received Wahi and he was conferred with Nubuwwat, from that moment, all those sacrifices that were made, all this is in the background of every mu'min's iman. But in particular, this particular aspect of Hijrat, this became the turning point. Thereafter, the various battles that took place, eventually Fateh Makkah took place, the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, and then Islam spread throughout the world from there. So we need to understand what is this Hijrat all about. This is such an important aspect that has happened. And it wasn't like a person now deciding he's going somewhere. So he's now leaving South Africa and going to live in some other country. So he books everything in advance and makes all the arrangements to transfer all his goods somewhere. And then the date comes and he's bought his ticket and he bought the flight and then he's gone. And then he's already got all the arrangements made on the other end. Hijrat was not that kind of situation. It was far from that. Hijrat was almost, and it was, a life and death situation. But unfortunately, we haven't acquainted ourselves with the details of the Mubarak life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what went in those many, many sacrifices that were made by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what amount of difficulties were undertaken by the Sahaba Ikram. So this ayat of the Quran Sharif refers to this incident of Hijrat. So just very briefly, to just some of the aspects that happened which led up to the Hijrat. This Hijrat came after a good period of time when the suffering at the hands of the Quraysh and the persecution, it reached a peak. In this was the suffering of all the various Sahaba, the sacrifices and the suffering that Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu underwent, the sacrifices that he had to undergo being dragged on the hot sands of Makkah Mukarramah. Very easy to say, being dragged on the hot sands of Makkah Mukarramah. We can't stand for a few seconds on the hot ground, bare feet, if somebody has to stand on a hot summer's day on the tar for a few seconds. 5 seconds would be too much. Less than that would be too much. Can we imagine being late to lie down? And then not just the hot sands. There were times when Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu ta'ala an, being made to lie on burning coal. And then that too was not enough for these brutal disbelievers. Then they would put a heavy stone and rock on his chest so he can't move also. One Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu anhu walked in. Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab moved off his special place. He's the Amirul Mu'mineen. And he said to him, you come and sit here. And then he addressed the gathering and said to them that nobody is worthy of sitting here. Apart, he said, you are the one that is most worthy of sitting here, apart from Bilal radiallahu anhu. He has more rights. Because he had even more, had to endure even more suffering. The Khabbab said, but even Bilal radiallahu anhu probably doesn't have the right that I have here. He just meant to say something. He said, even Bilal radiallahu anhu had some support. People, there were some one or two people that had, were there to give him some support. I had nobody to support me in the early days when I was being persecuted by the Quraysh. And then he mentioned this kind of incident, that he would be made to lie on burning coal, and then sometimes some disbeliever would put his foot on his chest so that he can't even move. And that weight would now stick him onto those coals. This was all in the background of it. Hazrat Yasir radiallahu ta'ala an, and Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala an, his mother Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, this entire family, the persecution that they underwent, and nobody was in any position to do anything for them. They were in the hands of their masters, and they used to do with them as they pleased, and nobody had any way to do anything to help them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pass by and see the suffering they undergoing, and he would say to them, sabran, sabran ya ala yasir, فَإِنَّ مَوْعِدَكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. O family of Yasir, be patient. Your promised abode is Jannah. It's coming. And the lesson in all this, that dunya, these things happen, these challenges come, these difficulties and hardships. This is dunya, all these things come. But the Sahaba Ikram presented themselves to give the Ummah a lesson. That yes, these challenges come, but what's the way out? How does a person become successful despite the challenges? What is going to be the means of still becoming successful in dunya and akhirat despite all these issues? Because that is the ultimate. Aise rahe ya ke waise rahe, waha dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. How a person lived in dunya, in which comfort or which difficulty, what kind of position or no position he had in dunya, all these things don't count. Waha dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. The real thing is, when he reaches Akhirat, then what is his outcome? What will be the way that he will reach Akhirat? And will he get the straight passage to Jannah? That is what's going to be, that's the most important thing. So through all these little issues and big issues, whatever kind of challenges, small and big, but still the ultimate is whether he gets to the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala and he gets onto the path of Jannah, to the path of reaching Jannah directly, that is of the greatest importance. And that's the biggest concern. So all these things were in the background, and then eventually many, many details in between. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam eventually gave the Sahaba the permission to migrate. There were two migrations, first to Habasha, to Abyssinia, and then came the final permission for the Sahaba to migrate to Madina Munawwara. So many Sahaba started leaving, and it was not started leaving meaning everything was so easy going, so smooth sailing, do as you please. This Hijrah became farz. The command of Allah Ta'ala then came. Every person who was able to make the Hijrat had to make it. Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala an, incident well known, we hear it repeatedly. So he got ready to leave, his wife and a little baby already mounted on the camel. And now the girl's family, his wife's family get to know he's about to depart. They come and say, you going, that's up to you, we'll not allow our daughter to go with you. They grab the daughter and take her away. So when the family of Abu Salama saw this, they came and grabbed the child from the mother's hand, out of spite, that if you are going to keep your daughter back, then the daughter is yours, but the child is ours. The child is attributed to the father. So he belongs to the father's clan. So if you keeping your daughter, we won't allow our son to be with. We keeping our son. He's gone for Hijrat. He's got no option but to leave on the hukam of Allah Ta'ala, the command of Allah Ta'ala. Father is gone. Mother is separated somewhere, and the little baby is somewhere else. And Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha then narrates the entire incident, and she says, out of this grief, of this complete separation, one side husband gone, and then that little baby snatched away from her hands, taken away somewhere else. And one entire year, the only occupation she had in that time was to wake up in the morning and cry about this. Until finally after 1 year, this whole year passed in this manner, and then the incident is known, the details. Allah Ta'ala then opened the way for her. Finally she was reunited with Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, the child, and they reached Madina Munawwara. That too was another whole incident, how she had to travel, and she set out, but Allah Ta'ala made arrangements. But the point is, all these things happen. It was not just plain sailing, just pack up and leave. All arrangements made, ticket booked, bought the flight, and somebody to welcome you on the other end. Yes, the Ansar opened their hearts and their hands out, but there were a lot of great sacrifices that happened. So eventually, after many, many Sahaba were now leaving, and finally the Quraysh were observing all this, and this was something they could not digest. They were trying their utmost to stop anybody from leaving. Anybody they found leaving, whoever was leaving had to leave very secretly. And when they realized somebody is leaving, they tried to apprehend them. Some Sahaba were now almost being caught, said, okay, let's do a deal. All my wealth in Makkah Mukarramah, meaning my life's investment, everything that I've earned in all these years, you keep that and let me make my hijrat. So Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala said, you keep that, everything I've had, my investments, my properties, my farms, whatever, everything is now yours, in lieu of you just let me make my hijrat peacefully. Okay, done. And this was a bargain they made with Allah Ta'ala, that they gave the whole dunya away, but to achieve Allah Ta'ala. So when this continued and the Quraysh now saw this is happening and everybody is, one after the other, all the Muslims are going, they decided we can't keep letting this happen, but all this is happening because of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is now, any time he is going to depart, if he leaves as well, then this is going to be a disaster for us. Because he will then go and he'll be strengthened by the people of Medina, and then they will now come and overtake us. So we have to finish him off, na'uzubillah. And that decision they set in this Darun Nadwa of theirs, this meeting place of theirs, and decide that this is it. Now we need to make a decision what to do. Allah Ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran Sharif. وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. That when these disbelievers were now sitting and planning, what should they do with you? Somebody said, now why don't we just imprison him? So now he'll be totally sealed off and imprisoned and away from the outside world. One elderly looking person came suddenly. Nobody even knew who he is into this meeting. They asked him, who are you? He said, no, I'm an old elderly person from Najd. He was shaitan, came in disguise. He said, no, I just want to be part of your meeting. I'm a very old person, lot of experience. Maybe I'll be able to help you. So now he heard this first suggestion. Why don't you imprison him? He said, forget about this. This is not going to help. Because when you imprison him, then everybody of whoever is associated with him, they'll do their utmost to release him. And they'll overwhelm you. So somebody said, well, why don't we banish him? He said, that's the last thing to do. You're not going to get anywhere. You're going to just do the opposite of what you're trying to do. So then somebody said, Abu Jahl said, well, what we will do is, we will surround his house, and one young person of every clan will be chosen. And all will surround his house, and when he comes out in the morning, all will pounce on him at once. And na'uzubillah, all will jointly be involved in assassinating him. So now no single clan would be able to be identified as the sole person or sole clan responsible for this assassination. It will be everybody jointly responsible. So now, the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his clan will not be able to take on a fight with everybody. So they'll eventually just settle for blood money. So this will be the end of it. This was their plan. Allah Ta'ala says, وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. They were planning and Allah was planning also. Allah is the best of planners. So all these are not just incidents for just historical reference. This is teaching us sunnatullah. That yes, there are challenges that come, things sometimes reach a peak. But we have to see the hidden hand. And there's a plan behind this. But then to bring things in our favor, there's a system also. And these incidents in the Quran Sharif, in the Hadith Sharif, they teach us that system. The dunya is Darul Asbab. Allah Ta'ala has made it a place of means. And there's a means for doing things. It happens with the will of Allah Ta'ala and by the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala alone. But Allah Ta'ala has made this the Nizam, the system. By and large, it will go according to that. When Allah Ta'ala wills, He'll make it happen opposite also. He'll make fire become cool. He'll make a knife become blunt. When Allah wills, He'll do as He pleases, because it's His Qudrat after all. But the general system is, this is how it'll happen. So in any case, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala informed him, this is the plan of these disbelievers, and therefore finally the command came that you two must leave. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in the midday when it is peak heat. Nobody emerges from their homes at that time. He came covered with a scarf over his head, and he came to the house of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, and he nevertheless said to him, informed him that Allah has given me permission now to make hijrat. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was already waiting for this moment. He knew this is coming sooner or later. And as soon as this came up, his first thing was, I want to join you. Now what was this? He knew full well. He knew 100%. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the biggest target of the Quraysh. And whoever is going to be alongside him, he's going to become equally the target. So he's putting himself at extreme risk. He knew full well that. But this was Siddiq after all. That my life is for Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he immediately presented himself. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted. Yes, you have been chosen as my companion. He said, I've already got 2 camels prepared from 4 months, ready for this. Sooner or later this time would come. So please accept it. Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. I will not accept it without paying for it. I will pay for it. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's favors on Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were innumerable. But on this occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't accept this favor. Because this was such a great event and such an important journey, he wanted to do this on his own, with his own wealth, to have his own wealth involved in it as well. So in any case, late at night, after Isha, when things had become dark, now they plan to leave. In the meantime, the kuffar already surrounded the house. And Abu Jahl is out there scoffing and mocking, and he's saying to the others that this is what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say to y'all, that well, if y'all follow him, then y'all be given dominion on the earth, and then in the hereafter you'll get gardens with rivers flowing beneath, and if you don't obey, then you're going to get become unsuccessful, and this will happen to you, making a mockery of this. So what now? See how the tables have turned against him. See what's going on now. He's on the verge of being assassinated. So now he's making a big hue and cry and mockery about it. All these kind of mockeries will carry on. This is the way that the disbelievers behave. This is their only thing that they know. This is not something new that is happening today. It's happening from ever since. Ever since this clash between Iman and Kufr started, ever since this clash between the people of Allah Ta'ala and the band of Shaitan carried on, ever since this has been happening. It's not something that started today. The favor we will do upon ourselves is to stop looking at all this propaganda and listening to all this propaganda and reading all this propaganda. We'll keep ourselves safe from many, many problems, internal confusions, and all kinds of other issues. And in any case, completely a waste of time. Good amount of that news is also just completely propaganda. It doesn't help us in any way, doesn't help people who are in the suffering in any way. All the amount of news we read about what's going on in Gaza, what's going on here and there. So it definitely it's the dictates of Iman that we feel for our Muslim brothers and sisters. If that feeling is not there, we have to question our Iman. If it doesn't matter to us how we just carry on without any issue, then something is seriously wrong within us. But that news and keeping up with it in that detail hasn't helped us in any way, hasn't helped them in any way. All that if we add up over the past so many months, how many hours have been spent in that news, if we spend 10% of that time in dua, we would have done a great favor to them and ourselves. So in any case now, this is happening outside. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inside is preparing to now leave. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala was in the house with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him that you lie down on my bed and cover yourself with this sheet, my sheet, the sheet that I use. And the reason for this was that you remain behind because there are various amanats, various trusts which people have left with me. After I am gone, these trusts will need to be given back to their owners. Despite the Quraysh being enemies with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they all acknowledge his utmost honesty, his utmost truthfulness. They gave him the title of As-Sadiq Al-Ameen. They would come and keep their valuables with him also. Now can we imagine the situation? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is migrating from this land that he's being forced to leave by people who are thirsty for his blood. They are planning to assassinate him. And now this was kept with him in trust. He's going. If he took it away, it was from people who were thirsty for his blood in any case. People who were committing zulm on him. Nabi says, no, no, no. The amanat must be returned to the lawful owner. Regardless of everything else, regardless of the day after my life, regardless of whatever else, but the amanat is an amanat. That amanat must go to the lawful owner. Subhanallah, what extent of importance has been given to this amanat? And that is one of the things, signs of Qiyamah. إِذَا دُيَّعَتِ الْأَمَانَةُ فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةِ When amanat trustworthiness will be lost, it is a sign of Qiyamah. Amanat will be just treated anyhow. Doesn't matter whose it is, how it is. The sign of Qiyamah. And that sign of Qiyamah is so evident in this time that we live in. Then the other thing was, that Nabi Kareem Salaam said to him, you cover yourself with the sheet and lay down, because these people will somehow be trying to check whether I'm still here or gone. So they will think it's me. Now this is all part of planning. All part of planning the time that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left, how he left, what arrangements were made when he left, where he went to directly after he left, and then he went and stayed in one place in a cave for 3 days, until such time that all the search parties got tired and finished off. And then in that time, the arrangements that were made, who would come with the news in a very secret manner to the cave and pass on what's going on, where they are searching now, what is their plans, who will bring the necessary things, because they have to survive now, they have to eat something, bring something, they can take nothing, hardly anything they can take. How will he come and how will he keep his whole coming and going secret? That Abdullah bin Abi Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, he'll come with a camel, and the camel's milk will be brought late at night. He'll come with the camel, so it can be milked, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr alayhi can have that milk. And then he will also bring the news of the day, what happened and what's going on. And then he will return. And then Amir bin Fuhaira would have his flock of goats. He would walk in the same path that Abdullah bin Abi Bakr alayhi wa walked, so that his tracks are all confused. Because when he's walking now and leaving, they were masters in tracking people. Now, this is all part of this planning and system. It isn't just haphazard and just doing things without any system, without any planning. Deen teaches us to be doing things in a proper plan, system, not just willy-nilly, anyhow. That causes a lot of damage, causes great amount of harm. Doing things in a systematic manner is part of deen, the teaching of deen. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us all this in his Safar of Hijrat as well. So in any case, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the house now, gets Ali radiallahu anhu to lay down on that bed, and then he leaves his home while the whole house is surrounded, and he takes a handful of sand and he throws it and drops little bit of it on the heads of these kuffar as he's passing them and leaving, and reciting the ayat of Surah Yasin up to the ayat وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدَّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدَّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And he threw these, they are busy still waiting for him to leave, and he passed in front of them. Allah Ta'ala blinded them, and he threw sand on their heads and left, and they didn't even know, and they're still waiting. Now on this, the ulama have written a point that why were they then waiting for the morning? They could have just broken into the house and done what they wanted to do. Why were they waiting for the morning? Even in that time, they had this much of little bit of haya, that not to break into a place where there could be some females, this private place of some woman. So now they rather wait outside. That much of haya they had, little bit. They were totally devoid of haya in so many ways, but that little bit of sense they had. But now these are all points for us to think about as well, that some things are so natural that it should be in a person's life. But in any case now, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left, came to the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and then they very quickly left from there in a different direction, which would normally not be the direction of anybody going to towards Madinah Munawwara. It's like actually going first in the opposite direction and then turning around and leaving in some other way, and came to the cave, Ghar-e Thawr, and Allah Ta'ala made his intizam and his arrangements for their protection. They just came and got in there. Allah Ta'ala sent a spider to come and spin a web on the mouth of the cave. And now when these people in the morning, they're waiting now, eventually when they are still waiting, somebody comes by, pass, and he asks, but what you're waiting for here? They say that, no, we're waiting for Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to come out, we're going to all pounce on him jointly and then assassinate him. He somehow, it's sensed that he heard or felt that the Beast was walking past. He said, I think you're all in deception. He's gone. So then they came into the house. They finally came and they see Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu lying there. And now they realize that they are totally now, they have lost out. Now they went helter-skelter to try and capture Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they ended up right at the mouth of that cave eventually. Some of them, they came right at the mouth of that cave. The cave was a little low-lying. They were standing towards on the higher ground. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is saying to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if any one of them just looks at the point of his feet, he'll see us. Because the mouth of the cave is right there. It's just lower down. And he's standing, if he just looks down, he'll see us. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, La ma dhannuka bi ithnain Allahu salithuhuma. What do you think about those two people with whom the third is Allah Ta'ala? Who have Allah's help with them, why should they be afraid of anything? Now this is the incident that is referred to in this ayat of the Quran Sharif that was recited at the beginning, that Allah Ta'ala says, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ. If you don't help Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you don't help the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, doesn't matter. He doesn't need your help too. He's not dependent on your help. إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَسَرَهُ اللَّهُ. Allah has helped him. Allah has kept on helping him. Allah Ta'ala helped him also in that very, very severe situation. فَقَدْ نَسَرَهُ اللَّهُ إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. When the disbelievers, they forced him to leave, he was made to now leave Makkah Mukarrama. ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ. The two of them were now in that cave. And the Quran Sharif speaks about the two in the cave. إِذْ قَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to his sahib, there was no other third person there. The two people in the cave was Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And the Quran Sharif is saying when he said to his sahib, his sahabi. Abu Bakr being a sahabi is pat'i. It is established from the Quran Sharif. Anybody rejects that, it renders them out of the pale of Islam. Because it tantamounts to rejecting this ayat of the Quran Sharif. And when he said to his companion, La tahzan inna Allah ma'ana. You don't have to grieve about anything. Why? Inna Allah ma'ana. Allah is with us. Now this is the lesson in all this. This is the lesson for us to take. Many other details, time is already passed. But the lesson, la tahzan. Don't fear, don't grieve about anything. Who will not have anything to grieve about? The person who succeeded. The person who has succeeded, he's got nothing left to grieve about. Why must he grieve? Somebody passed the examinations. He's not going to be sad about anything. He's got full A's, 100%. So now what must he grieve about? Somebody failed. So he's got a lot to cry over. But he's got all A passes. What he's going to grieve over? So the person who's successful, he's got nothing to grieve. But how does that success come? La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana. Person wants a success in his life, then there's only one way. He has to be gain the ma'iyyat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He has to gain Allah on his side. Have Allah with him. And this is what has been repeatedly mentioned in the Quran Sharif in so many incidents. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, his people now, they are crossing the Red Sea and now they are afraid. Just now we are going to be captured by Fir'aun and his army. Musa alayhi salam says, La tahzan. Inna ma'iya rabbi. My Rabb is with me. There's no need to grieve about anything. And likewise the other ayat. The issue right now is just to briefly discuss this ma'iyat of Allah Ta'ala. If you want to be successful, then there's only one way. You want to be successful in our life, Allah's ma'iyat. You want to be successful in our deen, obviously, in our dunya also, Allah's ma'iyat. You want to truly be successful, not the deception of what the dunya tells us about. Real success in our business, Allah's ma'iyat. Real success in a home. What a home is supposed to be all about. A home which is maskan. A place of sukoon. Where it come from? When there's Allah's ma'iyat in that home. In a person, in his personal self, he wants to be successful as a human being. Allah's ma'iyat. So now, where will Allah's ma'iyat be achieved from? And how, what is the prescription for it? So just to briefly touch on two, three aspects. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala mentions in one ayat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Allah is with the people of taqwa. We want Allah's ma'iyat, Allah to be with us, then it cannot happen in any other way but being obedient to Allah Ta'ala, people of taqwa. Whatever it might be, but if we think we're going to get something done and we're going to sort our problems out, we're going to come out of some difficulty, some hardship, in our way, but that way which contradicts Allah Ta'ala's commands, which breaks Allah Ta'ala's laws, which contradicts the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we are in a deception. We are in a total deception. It will never happen. We'll get deceived, we'll think we're getting somewhere just to crash. So the path of success and the gaining that ma'iyat of Allah Ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوَ. Allah is with the people of taqwa. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Those who do good. Do good in everything. There's so many different explanations to this. But in simple terms for us right now, just keep asking ourselves, what I'm doing, is it good? What I'm saying, is it good? What I'm thinking, is it good? How I'm dealing with somebody, is it good? Good, not what my understanding of good is. What will be judged as good on the day of Qiyamah? Here we can do many things and make many ta'wils for ourselves, give some explanation to it, some interpretation of it. This is what I meant and this is what I did. But on the day of Qiyamah, nothing will work but the reality. And only the reality will come out there. So what will be judged as good on the day of Qiyamah? In every action, every word, every deed, every interaction, then إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah is with the patient. Sabr. This too is something to repeat. The Quran Sharif is filled with the lesson of sabr. And this entire hijrat teaches us the lesson of sabr. How much of sabr? Sometimes we ask, how much sabr I must make? The question is, how much sabr did we make? Really, how much sabr did we make? Allah's countless ni'mats and bounties. The challenges indeed are there sometimes, but it can't compare to what we've benefited, countless ni'mats and bounties. So we don't ask for difficulties, we always and must always keep asking for afiyat, keep asking for ease, for safety. But there is no way to pass this life safely without sabr. Sabr in refraining from the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Sabr in fulfilling the commands of Allah Ta'ala. Sabr, if there's some challenge, some difficulty, some hardship, then to do that which is within the limits of Shariat, not to cross the line in any way. Inna Allah ma'as sabirin. Then in one hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, we'll just finish up on this, that ana inda dhanni abdi bi, that Allah Ta'ala says, hadith Qudsi, ana inda dhanni abdi bi, I treat my servant according to his expectations of me. And then, وَأَنَا مَعَهُ إِذَا ذَكَرَنِي. When he remembers me, I'm with him. So the greatest remembrance is the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. The verbal remembrance and physical disobedience, then that physical disobedience is now going to overcome this. So obviously the most important thing is the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. But together with that, this remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Bring the zikr alive in our homes. Bring it alive in our hearts. Our hearts will become alive with the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Allah's ma'iyat will be with us. Our homes will become alive. Some zikr, some time for zikr in our homes. Then the barakah will come. In the same ayat where about the hijrat, Allah says, إِذْ قَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Nothing to grieve about. Allah is with us. And Allah's ma'iyat was with what happened. فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah Ta'ala descended His special tranquility upon them. We want this tranquility. This tranquility cannot come in any other way but through the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. With having the ma'iyat of Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, person will be doing 101 things, but there's no sukoon in anything. Just in one chakkar, one rat race, carrying on, just in the motions. Doesn't know what he's chasing and where he's heading to, what he's up to and why he's doing it. But just must just carry on. And though his whole life is sometimes being in a shambles, no direction. There's no direction of where I'm. Yes, whatever I need to do to earn a halal living, etc., I have to carry on with that. But there's a direction. What is the direction? The direction of gaining the ma'iyat of Allah Ta'ala. Because that's the path to success in dunya and in akhirat. So this is the prescription. This is what we have to do. Just to finish up on one point, some the writers of Sirah have written, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he laid down in that night, which was a very now risky thing. They don't know when these people might just pounce in. And they may not even wait to see who's in here. They might just want to just do their job and go. But he says, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi said to me, you lay down here, nothing will happen to you. You come and meet me later on. He says, I was completely at ease. That was the best night I had. Now this was such a risky situation, but he was in total sukoon. The total sukoon came from what? From total yaqeen on the words of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And submitting to that without any question. But now, I'm going to be here, what if somebody just barges in? Allah's Nabi Islam's word, no question thereafter, nothing else can happen. So if Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said to us, that do this, you'll gain this barakat in your life. And do this, you're going to gain this disaster. So now when a person is still, but no, just make some ta'wil for this, just try to, some tricks here and there to just do what we can and get things going, and some camouflage and cover up for the wrongs. How we can ever get that sukoon? That sukoon will come in the obedience to Allah Ta'ala and the obedience to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala make us among the muttaqeen, the muhsineen, the sabireen. Allah Ta'ala bless us with His ma'iyat and this hijrat, the lesson of the hijrat. This is the aspect that we have to now take to heart, that this was the sacrifice that was made. These were the difficulties that were made. So now we need to devote our life to the way of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We need to devote our life to upholding His mission, to spreading His mission. This is, after all, the appreciation for His sacrifices. That we be steadfast on His Mubarak Deen, and we pass the Deen on to others as well. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Make zikr for a few minutes and then dua.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. لا إله إلا الله، 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وسلم. الله الله جل جلاله عم نواله. الله 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 لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا.
إن
اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم يا أحدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم واعف وتكرم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم ربنا توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالشهداء والصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا إنك جامع الناس ليوم لا ريب فيه إن الله لا يخلف الميعاد إله العالمين يا الله oh, most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah إله العالمين يا الله forgive us يا الله forgive all our major and minor sins يا الله يا الله forgive what we did in the darkness of night in the light of day يا الله what we did knowingly mistakenly يا الله إله العالمين يا الله you forgive our families يا الله forgive our friends and relatives يا الله Forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, shower your maghfirat on the ummah, ya Allah. Shower your rahmat on the ummah, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah, guide us and the entire ummah. Ya Allah, to those actions that bring down your rahmat, ya Allah. Save us and the entire ummah from such actions that bring down azab, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. Ya Allah, put us on the path of taqwa, ya Allah. Bless us with the wealth of taqwa, ya Allah. Make us among the muttaqeen, ya Allah. Make us among the muhsineen, ya Allah. Make us among the sabireen, ya Allah. Make us among the mukhbiteen, ya Allah. Make us among those, ya Allah, for whom there is la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. No fear for them and no grief, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. Make us among your loyal and obedient servants, ya Allah. Make us among the true ummatis of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, grant us the true appreciation of the sacrifices that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, that the Sahaba Kiram made, that all the pious servants of Deen made, Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, despite all their, Ya Allah, such great sacrifices, Ya Allah, such unimaginable suffering that they bore, Ya Allah, such hardships that they underwent, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are so indifferent to all this, Ya Allah. We have no concern and care, Ya Allah. We have been so, Ya Allah, blatantly, Ya Allah, trampling the Mubarak way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and forgot completely about all his suffering, Ya Allah. All the tears that he shed for us, Ya Allah. All the blood from his Mubarak body that was spilled for the Ummah, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. What face will show on the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah. When we will need his Shafa'at and intercession, Ya Allah. We'll be needing the water of Kawthar from his Mubarak hand, Ya Allah. Allah, what kind of face will appear with, Ya Allah. That we followed the ways of his enemies, Ya Allah. We embraced their fashions, Ya Allah. We embraced their lifestyle, Ya Allah. And we left his Mubarak Sunnah away, Ya Allah. His Mubarak way of life, Ya Allah. The haya that he thought, Ya Allah, got abandoned, Ya Allah. And the shameless fashions of the Yahud and Nasara were embraced, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, his simple lifestyle was abandoned, Ya Allah. And the extravagance of the Kuffar, Ya Allah. That was taken in place, Ya Allah. And all the other countless things, Ya Allah. That we've abandoned his Mubarak way, Ya Allah. And taken the ways of the Yahud and Nasara. Ya Allah, in this manner, Ya Allah. If we have to leave this dunya, Ya Allah. How we going to face Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah.
Forgive us, Ya Allah. Enable us to appreciate Him, Ya Allah. Enable us to appreciate the tears He shed for us, Ya Allah. The blood that He was spilled for us, Ya Allah. The sacrifices that were made for us, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, fill our hearts with the love of His Mubarak Sunnah, Ya Allah. For His Mubarak way of life, Ya Allah. For His Mubarak teachings, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us a tawfiq of living this, the lifestyle of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, put the hatred of the ways of Yahud and Nasara in our hearts, Ya Allah. Enable us to shun their ways, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, You grant us a tawfiq of doing all that pleases You, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us Your ma'iyat, Ya Allah. Grant us Your ma'iyat, Ya Allah. Enable us to do all that which brings us to You, Ya Allah. That enables us to gain Your ma'iyat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are sick, give them shifa'i kamila, azila, mustadirra, da'ima. Ya Allah, remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Those in any kind of difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant barakat in each one's life, health and wealth, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect the iman and amal of every mu'min, Ya Allah. Protect the life, health and honor of every mu'min, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant afiyat in deen, Ya Allah. Grant afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, throughout the world, wherever the Muslims are in any suffering, pain, hardship, Ya Allah, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, our brothers and sisters of Palestine, Gaza, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, You shower Your special rahmat on them, Ya Allah. You shower Your special karam on them, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, You protect them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, You protect them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, You protect them, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, You, Ya Allah, grant, Ya Allah, Your special busrat, Ya Allah. Make them victorious over their enemies, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, You remove the enemy, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant them hidayat, Ya Allah. If hidayat is not decreed for them, Ya Allah, wipe them out from the face of this earth, Ya Allah. Allahumma shattit shamlahum. Allahumma shattit shamlahum. Allahumma mazziq jama'ahum. Allahumma dammir diyarahum. اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت إله العالمين يا الله all those have raised their hands to this dua all who asked us to make dua for them يا الله you fulfill each one's جائز نهج يا الله Fulfill each one's pious aspirations, Ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Grant each one barakat and afiyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, remove all the anxiety, grief, sorrow, worry, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, fill the hearts with itminan and sukoon, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant us sukoon through Your obedience, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the tawfiq of being obedient to You in every aspect of life, Ya Allah. And grant us that sukoon in our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the tawfiq of making Your zikr, Ya Allah. And through the zikr, grant our hearts sukoon, Ya Allah. Enable us to recite the Quran Sharif daily, Ya Allah. Enable us to perform our 5 times salah with jama'ah daily, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, keep us under the shade of Your pleasure, Ya Allah. Save us from Your displeasure, Ya Allah. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين